Luke 1, we're going to start in verse 26 in a little book called Bits and Pieces. This lady, Meg Quinjano, she related this following story that happened upon her trip, return trip from the National Organization for Women. She met her five-year-old daughter, and her name was Lisa. Lisa come out and greeted her with the news that when she grows up, she wants to be a nurse. Well, back in the day, there was a time when nursing was thought to be a woman's job. And so it was natural for the little girl to want to be a nurse. But her mother said, "Lisa, you can be anything you want to be." Said, "You don't have to just narrow it down to a nurse. You can be a lawyer, you can be a surgeon, you can be a banker, you can be president of the United States. You can be anything." So the little girl had a funny look on her face and she thought about it. She said, "Anything? Anything at all?" Her mother replied, "Yes, you can be anything." She said, "All right, I think I'll be a horse." You know, when we look at Jesus' birth, we didn't know what was going to happen. Back here, the people who were around, Mary, Joseph, they didn't fully understand. When you have your children, you probably have desires for what's going to happen, what you want them to be like. Some of you may have had prison bars in mind, thinking of your children, a number across their chest. You know, sometimes you look at your kids and you think, man, are they ever going to make it? Are they going to be anything successful? You know, have we messed up? Have we failed? Well, as you just heard singing here with Mary and having Jesus, she had no idea what was actually happening. So let's look at that. We're going to be in verse 26. This is the story of Jesus. We first looked at Genesis 3:15 and God's promise of a Savior. Then we looked at Isaiah 7:14 that the sign of His coming would be a virgin. And then we looked at Micah 5:2 that the birth would be in Bethlehem. And so that brings us up to today. Verse 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth." So it says the sixth month of what? It's actually referring to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And so between verses 25 and 26, 6 months has passed. And between that one verse. But if you go back and read it all, you can see that. But 6 months has passed since Elizabeth was realized that she was pregnant, or the incident or the encounter with an angel and Zechariah that brought about all of this. And so that's what it's referring to. Now it says here that Gabriel was sent. Of course, he's an angel. Angel means a messenger of God, someone who goes out and they speak on God's behalf from God. So there are actually only three angels mentioned by name in the Bible. Gabriel is one of them, and he is found in Daniel's 8 and 9, and then here in Luke 1. Michael is another one. He's found in Daniel 10. He's also found in Jude 9 and Revelation 12. The third angel that is mentioned is Lucifer, who's found in Isaiah 14. And of course, Lucifer, if you know that story, you know he lost his position, was cast to the earth, and became known as Satan. And so that's a whole nother sermon in itself. But here we're talking about Gabriel. And if you look back to verse 19 of chapter 1, here's what it says. "And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" That was Gabriel speaking to Zechariah. But notice what he says. He said, I stand in the presence of God. Now, think about that. Gabriel is here speaking to Mary, or fixing to speak to Mary, and he is sent to talk to her. He's already identified. He's the one who stands in the presence of God, and he comes forth to bring this message from God to whoever he's sent to. In this case, it's Mary. So he's in Galilee, in Nazareth. Verse 27 says, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So here the angel brings a message to the lady named Mary, who is identified as a virgin. And simply that means someone who has never been with a man, is sexually pure, is what that's talking about. And so Mary was this person. And the angel was sent to her, and she was engaged to Joseph. So in this day and time, they had a formal engagement, and the formal engagement lasted a year, and the only way to break the formal engagement was through divorce. So they weren't technically married, but they were on their way to be married, and so everyone considered them as married, and they were connected, knowing that was going to happen, but they still didn't have sexual relationships. They were in this process of 1 year, and then they would consummate the marriage and move forward. So they were in this time frame of the 1 year engagement leading up to the marriage. I want to point out something. Here in this verse, it identifies that Joseph was the one she was engaged to, who was of the house of David. Now, Joseph and Mary were both in the lineage of David. They were both heirs to the throne, so to speak. And so that's very important when you look at the child that's coming, is their genealogies led back through King David, whom I mentioned in the past was one of the standards of all the kings for Israel. And God said that you're not like my son David. You're not in the order of King David. And so everybody was compared to him. Now verse 28 it says, and he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. What would you think if somebody come up to you and said, greetings, O favored one? Isn't that kind of odd? Greetings, O favored one. Gabriel greets Mary strangely. Of course, that's not a normal greeting. But he says, greetings, O favored one, or highly favored one, is what some of the translations say. So in other words, the Lord was with her. She was blessed among the women. She was highly favored by God. And God was going to use her to do tremendous things. Of course, we're still talking about it years later. We're still studying it years later. So God had his hand upon her. Think about this for a minute. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, then you're not just a follower or a believer, but you're a child of God. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're an heir along with Jesus to the throne. You are somebody if you belong to Jesus. And you know, we walk around the earth and many times we mope and we're down in the mouth and we kick dirt and, oh, woe is me. I think the angel needs to show up on your doorstep and says, hey, highly favored one, get your act together. You know, because you are somebody, and the power that you're about to see take place in this event is living in you. You have that ability to rise up and to do great things because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so sometimes we look at ourselves through a set of glasses or filters that are wrong. You know, we've been beat down all our life. by the world, by those who love us, telling us we're not any good, we're not going to amount to anything, we're useless, we're on and on and on, and we start believing that. And it's false. That is from the devil. Because Mary shows up here, the angel says, highly favored one, and Gabriel is talking to her. Notice what happens, verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary was struggling with this greeting because evidently she didn't consider herself highly favored by God. She didn't consider herself as blessed among women. And in fact, she was about a 14-year-old girl who, I don't know what 14-year-old girls think. Are any of y'all 14? Are y'all out chasing guys? Of course, they're going to say no. As a 14-year-old boy, girls still had cooties in my eyes. You know, didn't want to be around them. But what do 14-year-old young people do nowadays? It's a whole different world. But in Mary's day and time, of course, they weren't out looking to get into trouble and go to the latest parties and so forth. Mary was engaged and had this one-year engagement that she was walking through, wanting to learn how to be a faithful wife, how to take care of the house, how to do things that would please the husband, and not only the husband, but the father, her father and her family, that she wouldn't be a disgrace to them. And so she's evidently not considering herself highly favored, because she's wondering what is going on. Wonder how many times God has showed up on your doorstep and says, hey, I want you to do this, and you start struggling, me? Why me? And you start pointing, hey, what about that guy? Or, look over there. There's a guy that can do that. Because it's not about what God can or can't do, because God can do everything. It's about what's in you and how you see yourself. When God first called me to be a preacher, I struggled. I did not see myself as that. And I didn't feel worthy of doing anything for God. Well, I kind of identify with Mary here, because I think Mary is struggling with the very same things. Why would God choose to do anything with me? You ever thought that? Well, I want to tell you, God does want to use you. And he may do great and mighty things through you. He may do some things that only you know about. But God wants to use your life to impact those around you, your family, those you encounter. Just like with Mary, who's going through her everyday normal life, and all of a sudden she has this encounter, and God is pointing out that he wants to use her for some great task. Well, if you keep reading here, verse 30 says, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So the angel comforts her. Evidently, she was afraid. Now, you probably have read the books, and I've read them, where people were talking about standing in the mirror, shaving, and they look in the mirror, and they see Jesus standing around them, holding his arm around them or whatever, and they just kept shaving and thought that was nice. Or one guy actually told me one time that he was in a car wreck, and he said he looked and he saw the angel's wing go by. And I don't know, I wasn't there, but I do know this, that if something that is not normal to me all of a sudden showed up in my presence, I think there would be some fear. I think I might want to make some tracks. You know, he might be chasing me. Stop! I've got a message for you from God. You know, he'd be running. It's natural, because it's not normal. If something just appears, that's not something you see every day. If an angel just appeared, I think there would be fear. So the angel is comforting Mary by telling her, don't be afraid, because it's a natural occurrence to be afraid. And all the times through the Bible, when you see angels show up, then many times they have to comfort them because of fear. So that's natural. Mary had some fear, so there was comfort taking place, when in reality she had no reason to fear. There was no reason for her to be afraid because, as he says here in verse 30, that she was highly favored. She was favored with by God. So God had basically chose her for this task. He was picking her to do great things. So she'd found favor with God. Many times people are afraid of death, spiritual things, eternity. And when you start talking about some of those things, people don't want to sit and talk to you. I pastored this one church, and there was a man who, he wasn't a member of the church, but he came all the time. And I went and visited it with him at his house. And one day he was telling me, he goes, "I'm up all night." He said, "I can't sleep." I said, "Why is that?" He goes, "I'm afraid to die." He said, "So at night I stay awake." He said, "I figured if I'm asleep, I might die and not ever wake up. So that puts fear in me. So therefore, I don't go to sleep." I'm thinking, man, he got to go to sleep sooner or later. So we began talking about it, and I began trying to help him, but he had such a fear of death, and I was actually doing a sermon that was going to discuss that, and I said, "You need to make sure and be there on this Sunday because I'm going to discuss that and lay it out in detail." And anyway, nevertheless, he didn't show. He didn't want to talk about it. But you know, why do people have fear of death? It's because not really fear of dying, it's fear of what comes after that. If you've got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's not near as much fear stepping into eternity or stepping over on the other side than it is if you don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior. So if you don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you ought to be afraid. You ought to be scared of what's going to happen. And you don't have to be, because you can get it right. You can come to Jesus. You can have faith in Jesus. He can save you. That's rescue you from sin, from hell, from judgment that's to come. And he can give you a purpose. And he can walk with you. And so it doesn't have to be that way, but it is for a lot of people. Now, Mary wasn't afraid because of what was going to happen. She was afraid because she was in the presence of an eternal being that she had never seen before. Now look at verse 31. It says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And so here we find in these verses that the message that God has for Mary sent through Gabriel was, one, she would be pregnant, two, have a son, and three would be name him Jesus. So specific, very specific. Now, he went on to say that this one that you're going to have in verse 32 is going to be great. He's going to be known as the Son of God, and God will give him the throne of David. In other words, he is going to be a great king. Verse 33 went on to say he would reign in Israel and his kingdom would never end. So that's a lot of information for a 14-year-old girl who has never been with a man, all of a sudden finding out she's fixing to be pregnant. I was thinking about this. If a 14-year-old kid comes home and tells mom and dad, "Hey, I'm pregnant," they're not going to say, "Oh, God's up to that again. I can't believe it." No, they're going to say, "What's his name and what have you done?" Right? Because this is the only time this has happened. This is a unique event And so Mary is part of this event, but I love Mary's response in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Mary, her response is the greatest response ever, because you hear all the stories and all the naysayers and the people who don't want to believe trying to give you reasons why this cannot happen. And Mary's response is probably the greatest to shut the mouths of the critics. "How can this be? I am a virgin." So Mary herself didn't understand. This is not possible. I mean, 14-year-old, she at least knew enough that there had to be a male and a female normally to have a child. And typically, a father and a mother are the ones who had children. But in Mary's understanding, this was impossible because she had never been with a man. She didn't have a man to be. She had a man, but she hadn't been with him. And so, in her understanding, this was impossible. Well, Gabriel explains to her in verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So, what Mary was thinking was impossible is impossible for man, but it is possible for God. The things that man can do don't compare to the things that God is able to do. God can work mightily, and through His supernatural power, that's what would happen in this event, is that God's power would overshadow her, and God the Son, who we know now as Jesus, God the Son, would be placed inside of her, wrapped in flesh, wrapped inside of His creation, waiting to be born and to grow up just like you and I did, to be all God and all man. I want to tell you, it takes some faith to believe this, because your mind is very difficult to wrap it around all of this, and it's hard for most people to understand, but the Bible states it, and so therefore I believe it, and we have to walk in faith in this. This is what God is telling us, and the Father would place Him in flesh, and the incarnation would take place, and Mary would await for the birth of her son, Jesus. Now, to help her understand that just because it's impossible for man doesn't mean it's impossible for God. And I think that's a lesson we all need to learn. Just because we are limited by whatever, and you can look around and see, we're limited by people, we're limited by space or time or finances or abilities, just because you're limited doesn't mean God is limited. God can do anything. So to prove to her and to comfort her in this, here's what He says in verse 36. "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Now, He tells her this not to say that Elizabeth has this miraculous child that God has overshadowed. It's not the same, but here's what He's trying to tell her. Elizabeth was old, had never had children. They were way past childbearing age. And so they were at the point where they had accepted the fact that they were not going to have children, Elizabeth and Zechariah. It was just not going to happen. There are people all over the world who try to have children. Some of them struggle and struggle and struggle, and some do eventually have children, some don't. But He said, here, look at Elizabeth. Elizabeth is old, past childbearing age. She has never had any children, and guess what? She's already 6 months along in her pregnancy. So what seems impossible to man is not impossible to God, because notice what he says in the very next verse, 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible for God. God is able to do anything. And you and I need to understand that. You look around and you see someone, you say, that guy's never going to get saved. That guy's never going to change. What's impossible for man is possible for God. You look around, you see people who are suffering. The doctor says it's hopeless. There's not much else can be done. What's impossible for man is possible for God. You look at your situation. I've been in this situation for so long and nothing is changing. What is impossible for man is possible for God. What is God actually asking? What is he asking Mary? He's asking the same of you and I, is to take that step of faith and step of trust and say, I don't understand, I don't know, I can't figure all this out, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to allow you to do this great work, because I realize that all things are possible through God. And look at her response, verse 38. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We started out with Mary the virgin, who was promised to be married to Joseph. And we end with Mary the maidservant of the Lord. Mary who submitted to the will of God, even if she didn't fully understand. Mary said, let it be done to me as God has said. That ought to be your prayer every day. Every day when you get up, Lord, let it be done to me just as you've planned it. Maybe follow up by help me accept whatever that is. You know, sometimes we get in a hurry and we get busy, and Christmas is no different. The Christmas season, we're the hustle and bustle, and you go to town. I don't like going to town because it's crowded, and if I got that shopping cart, I start getting a little road rage in the store, and I'm ready to start bumping people. Get out of the way. You want to be joyful? Do that out front. What's wrong with y'all? You know, I'm not the type that likes to be crowded. And the crowds pressing in on me, I don't care for that. So I try to stay away, but nevertheless, I have to go. And things are busy. Christmas is probably the busiest time of the year. People are going and selling and buying, and I mean, it's just hectic. But maybe we ought to stop and pause and say, Lord, let it be done to me according to your will. And let me walk in that, whatever it may be. Whatever happens, Lord, let me see your hand in it. There's things happen I didn't like, but later I saw what God was up to in that. And I saw how God was moving. So in other words, we ought to say yes to the Lord. Whatever it is, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Whatever it is, yes, Lord, I'm here. Use me. That's what Mary did. Mary showed herself as a servant, one who is willing. And if your heart doesn't show to be a servant or one who's obeying, maybe you need to get that right. Maybe you need to get right with the Lord so that you can say, yes, Lord. You know, years ago, some of y'all remember this. Young people probably won't. But Roger Staubach, who was quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, they nicknamed him Roger Dodger. Everybody knew that. Man, that guy led the Cowboys to championships. And in 71, they won a championship. And they began to interview him about his position as quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And he said it was a trial because he didn't get to call his own place. But Tom Landry, who's the coach, sent every play in. Every play was sent in. And Roger was told when to pass, when to run. And only in emergencies was he allowed to change the play. And that was followed by, and you better be right. So basically, he was the quarterback, but the coach was the one running the offense. And you know, as I talked to Roger about that, he said he considered Tom Landry a genius mind when it came to football strategy, but he said pride was in his heart and he wanted to call his own plays. And he said he struggled. He said, later when I faced up to that issue and I began to walk in obedience, he said, when I learned to obey, all of a sudden there was harmony in the team, there was fulfillment in the team, and there was victory in the team. So you know, when it comes to Jesus, pride holds a lot of people back. And a lot of people say it and say, I don't need to come and trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can do it. I've made it 50 years without Him. I can go on. I'm telling you, if you submit to obedience and you come to Jesus, you're going to find that there's harmony, there's fulfillment, and there's definitely going to be victory. You may not see it right now, but there's going to be victory one of these days. So if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I would encourage you to do so. He is your hope. That's why we're talking about this. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you sent your Son into the world to not only be born as a child, a baby, and to grow among us, but to go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us. Any who are here who need you as Lord and Savior, I pray you would draw them to yourself and do a great work. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.